The first thing to say is I remember some years ago being at the Cannes Film Festival when Michael Haneke's Funny Games was on. And Funny Games was a film which basically said, oi, listen, people watching horror films, it's really bad. And watching horror films is like violence, and like, but it's all about us, and you're really bad, and stop doing it. And I hate Funny Games. And I think Haneke has gone on to do some very interesting work. But the most hilarious misstep of his career was when he remade Funny Games shot for shot, word for word, but in American or in English, because he was convinced that the reason that the film hadn't had the impact it should have had the first time, that it hadn't told all horror fans off so firmly, was that it was in the wrong language. And I just thought it was, as somebody who spent their whole life loving horror and enjoying horror, I thought, in the last thing I want is to be lectured by Michael Haneke in either language. And I look at the people I always think of as the, you know, the great directors, David Cronenberg, Dario Argento, George Romero, and these are people who made their grounding in horror and stayed in it for quite a long time. And one of the things I really like is the fact that Jordan Peele is he's an advocate of horror. He's made Get Out, which obviously, as the Golden Globes showed us, was theoretically a comedy, and now he's made Us, and he's talked enthusiastically about broadly staying in the genre because he likes the things that can be done in it. So firstly, great for him for that. Second thing is, it's a film with one of those great titles. The title tells you everything. Firstly, it's Us. And secondly, it's about America, because it's us, it's US. And it's one of those things that I love a film with a pithy title that means two things, both of which mean the same. The central line in the film, we're Americans. That's what it's about. And when he was saying it's not about race, it's about America. It's about everything that's kind of inherent in an affluent society and everything else that is underneath it. And I think that there is a really terrific argument to be had. I mean, a good pub argument, much to be said on both sides about what us really means. Is it the return of the repressed kind of Jekyll and Hyde, that we all have a shadowy side? Is it about the way in which affluent societies inherently feed in a parasitical way off a hidden underclass? Is it Dostoevsky meets Jack Finney in an episode of The Twilight Zone? Is it all those
whatever that would be like?
Whatever that would be like. And the great thing about it is that I feel that what he's doing is he's saying, it's up to you. You know, I've come up with this idea and I think it's got lots and lots of different readings, but it's up to you what you take away from it. So, again, being very careful not to give away too much.
Well, we did a bit of tiptoeing.
You did, but well done. I mean, I think that the trailer still tells you, you know, more than you need to know. As you said, there's the trauma at the beginning in the 1980s when a girl goes into a hall of mirrors and sees a reflection of herself. And then years later, she's haunted by this reflection. And then suddenly this family are confronted by the phrase used by doppelgangers. And what then happens is that the movie plays a very, very sort of thin knife edge between home invasion movie and horror movie and knockabout comedy. I mean, they invoke, for example, movies like Home Alone. And there's a gag about the fact that the kids don't know what Home Alone is. It's also, I think, you could see it as a kind of a flip side mirror image riposte to that French-Romanian film, Them. I'd actually like to see Them and Us as a double bill. And at the center of it is a family who you are given enough time with before things go completely, you know, off the rails, that you care about them and you invest in them. And one of the best scenes in the film, which is nothing to do with horror, one of the best scenes of the film is them sitting around a table bickering in a very kind of casual manner about, well, why don't you want to do track and field anymore? Stay at the table before you finish your thing. Why do you always wear that mask? Oh, you know, we've got to go to the beach to meet those friends of yours that I don't like. It's a film that takes its time to firstly set up the dynamics of the family, to let you know who everyone is and what everyone's foibles are and what everyone's phobias and paranoias are, and then take them to a beach and put them alongside another family who are this kind of dysfunctional family, headed up by Elizabeth Moss, who at one point in what appears to be a throwaway line says, you know, if it hadn't been for my kids, I could have been an actor. And suddenly you know so much about it. You know so much about her disenchantment with her life, her disenchantment with a lot, the fact that they are the kind of the dysfunctional mirror image to this other family, which we've seen bickering, but they get on with each other. And it reminds me of all those films in which you take time to set the characters up and to tell us who they are and to let us know what their lives are like. And if you get those details right, then when the storm comes, when the stuff starts appearing, it's all the more convincing. The other thing I love is how finely woven and textured the film is. The film is about mirror images, us, US, all that stuff, okay? It's about above ground and below ground. It's about, you know, up here and subterranean. It's about what is seen and unseen. And all the way through the film, it's littered with these mirror images, whether it's a pair of scissors that's symmetrical, whether it's a sign for Jeremiah 11:11, which is then mirrored in a digital clock, and then even more subtly, in a sports broadcast in which it's 11-11 is the score that's going on burbling away in the background. Whether it's the idea that whenever you see something somewhere else in the film, there's an alternate sort of flip side version of it, even if it's just in the design of the furnishings. Everywhere you look, you start to see this kind of weird mirroring and doubling. There's a lovely moment when they're in the car and the petulant teenage daughter, who's so really terrific performance, just says, "The government's trying to control our minds through fluoride." And everyone ignores her. And she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. No one cares about the end of the world." And again, it's a throwaway petulant, but it weirdly sets up a whole load of stuff about what's going on in the film. I thought the score by Michael Lubbers was terrific. I thought, you know, the use of human voices intercut with those kind of stabby strings was really good. There's this weird anthem thing which weirdly evokes the Ave Satani Jerry Goldsmith from The Omen, but in a playful way, which I thought worked really well. There are some brilliant uses of jukebox pop music that are so well chosen. And there's one of them is laugh out loud funny in a moment of extreme sort of terror and home invasion violence. There is a musical jukebox joke that I thought when you did that in the editing, when you got that, you must have laughed for about half a day because it is so brilliantly funny. And then you have, as you rightly said in that interview with Peter Nyong'o, doing not one but two great, I mean, a lot of the cast have to be doing not one but two great performances that are distinguished. And again, I love this. The performances are distinguished by physicality. I mean, they've got in a choreographer and movement coach to talk to people about the way in which their character would move at a certain time. And so much of the distinction between what's going on with these characters is to do with the way they stand, the way they move, the way they hold themselves. Jordan Peele was talking in that interview about it's very difficult when people are playing more than one role. You have to shoot one half of the scene and then the other half of the scene. But there's never any question that these are different characters. And it's so much of it is to do with the way they move. And so I've seen it twice now. And the first time I didn't know much about it at all because I deliberately tried to avoid. I hadn't watched the trailer. I just knew the title, which I liked because I liked what I already perceived as being the pun in it. And so the first time round, I thought it was really exciting. It was like a roller coaster. The second time round, when you kind of know where it's going, I was much more impressed by the interweaving, by the textures, by the way in which, very much as with Get Out, you see that that all of this is built into every single part of the structure of it. I think as well, it's a really good crowd pleasing film. And unlike that experience in Cannes all those years ago of everyone being told, stop liking these horror movies, you're terrible people, the film is saying, you know, in that celebratory way that Wes Craven always talked about, there is a joy and a release in watching a really good horror movie, but particularly a really good horror movie that takes a pair of scissors to a subject that it really understands and plunges right into its dark heart.